on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are Americans.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are Americans.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Mind. We gotta need to kill the music there.
You just never know what's gonna happen in this studio.
That's been a gremlin day here today, evidently. Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent and I'm your host. I'd like to thank our sponsor, North State Consultants, and they can be reached at 530-221-0101, and consultations are by appointment only. Let's see, what else? Today is April 27th, 2013, you're listening to 1460 KCNR, home of the community radio for the North State. I guess we can still say Free Fire.
Carl said we could say whatever we wanted with that. So.
I guess we can say whatever
there
we want.
There you go.
Anyway, my name is Mark Kent and I'm here in the studio, the studio with my sister Linda.
Good morning.
And I'm here with Doc.
Yeah, we have Doc on the soundboard.
Hello, hello.
Yes, all around trusted soundboard operator and great guy.
Just for today.
Just for today.
He's not having a good morning.
We also have Gary Cadd in the studio with us today.
Good morning.
Your official title is City Councilman.
Gary Cadd works. City Councilman is when I'm up there on the DS at a city council meeting.
Okay, well, we'll just refer to you as Gary.
That works.
All right.
Anyway, we're streaming worldwide. You know, you can call in. I don't know if you can call in. I think we're having trouble with the phones today.
Having a little bit of difficulties.
Yeah, so.
So work with us.
Yeah, so I'm not sure that you can call in. Usually the number is 530-605-4567. But you can get on the chat room, if nothing else, and ask questions there at kcnr1460.com. All our shows are podcast and archived as well. And you can friend me on Facebook, Mark E. Kent. Veterans events, we don't have any today?
Well, Dave asked me to give an update on Missing in America Project. You know, Fred is... he's the one that collects remains that are on claim, the veterans, and takes them to their final resting place. They actually picked up a veteran out of Siskiyou County. He was a PC Marine, and they're taking him back to Arlington. So they're on their way, I believe. He told me that they are in Nebraska, headed for Kansas City, Missouri. They will hand him off to some other writers, and they will take him into Arlington.
This is the Rolling Thunder kind of guys, right?
Yep, you
the
know
Rolling
it.
Rolling Thunder. All
and
right.
So, as far as I know, their mission is going good, so thank you very much, Fred, out there, and everybody else that has a hand in it.
Very good, very good. Let's see, we got a couple of things here. I guess we'll start with our first quotes. This is, "Action is the real measure of intelligence," and that's Napoleon Hill. And our second quote is, "The richest man in the world is not the one who has the most, but the one who needs the least." So with that, let's see what kind of stories. We've got a couple stories here, and then we'll talk to our guest, Gary, here. Let's see, what do we have going here? Just a couple of things. One is, this comes from across the street. Jamie Dimon has issues. Or the subtitle of that would be, "Or Meet the Idiot Selling Gold." this is an update on Friday the 26th. J.P. Morgan customers added a whopping, 55,800 million troy ounces. Anyway, to get to the story here, somebody should – this is really funny. That's why I wanted to to read it. Somebody should explain to the blathering numbskulls that CNBS. Now, I think they meant CNBC, but CNBS was pretty funny. That when just one firm accounts for 99.3% of the physical gold sales at the COMEX in the last 3 months. It's not what most of us would call, what most of us on this side of the rainbow would consider broad-based selling. Of course, discovering this kind of relevant information requires an internet connection, second-grade math and reading skills, and the desire to do a teeny-weeny bit of reporting. Sadly, they've wandered so far down the rabbit hole that the concept of physical demand, i.e. people actually wanting to take possession of the stuff, is puzzling to them because the vast majority of the world's so-called gold trading takes place in the realm of make-believe, which is their natural habitat. And it's all fun and games until someone loses their medal. And someone has lost one hell of a lot of metal in the last 90 days. So basically what's happening is the price suppression this last month, this is the biggest push down of precious metal prices in 15 years. You know, with the, I think it completely backfired on the powers that be. They were hoping that they would flush money or flush the metals out onto the market, the physical metals, by doing the paper slam. And it actually had the exact opposite effect. We've had a worldwide run on metals. And so, you know, we're starting to see that, the Ponzi scheme is starting to collapse. Now, I had another one here. Let's see what, a Western economy, doesn't look so good. This is stunning gold shortages as the Western Ponzi scheme collapses. And well, we're talking about the Ponzi scheme with the Federal Reserve and so forth and the papering over of the, physical market, which is the only competing currency against the dollar, and the other fiat currencies worldwide. So this comes from, this is from King World News, and this is Eric, Egon von Gretz, and he's the, founder of, Matterhorn Asset Management out of Switzerland, and, he had some things to say. Basically, the world economy is starting to disintegrate. What we're earning now is the culmination of a Ponzi scheme of printing money and credit that started with the creation of the Fed in 1913. So for 100 years, the world has lived in a dream that printed money creates prosperity. What we're going to see in the next few years is a hyperinflation depression of unimaginable proportions. All of us will, of course, be affected and so forth. But, you know, if you look at JP Morgan, their eligible gold, which is the stock they can deliver, has been down 65% in the last couple of days. So it looks like we might have a failure at the COMEX and even the London bullion market. So that's kind of an interesting scenario that's coming on. Let's see. Couple of things on Mr. Obama. I guess this just missed the mainstream media. Officials found guilty in Obama-Clinton ballot petition fraud. I guess that just wasn't worth the news.
No. Why would anybody want to know about that?
Yeah, a jury in South Bend, Indiana has found that fraud put President Obama and Hillary Clinton on the presidential ballot, primary ballot, in Indiana in the 2008 election. Two Democratic political operatives were convicted Thursday night in the illegal scheme after only 3 hours of deliberation. They were found guilty on all counts. Former longtime St. Joseph County Democrat Party Chairman Butch Morgan Jr. was found guilty of felony conspiracy to commit petition fraud and forgery, and former county board elections worker Dustin Blythe was found guilty of felony forgery counts and falsely making a petition after being accused of faking petitions that enabled Obama and then an Illinois state senator to get on the an Illinois senator. He's not a state senator. He's a federal senator. To get on the presidential primary ballot for his first run at the White House. So, you know, you just think that something like that would make the mainstream news. Did anybody,
Well, I guess it might have been on Fox.
From Fox. That's where I'm getting the report from. But I guess that wasn't news for, CMBS or.
Yeah, and I'm sure they spent a lot of time on it too, even at Fox. I'm not sure, but.
Yeah, I didn't hear it on any of the mainstream news. I was looking for it. Our local news is like, rainbows and lollipops.
We do live in California.
It's unbelievable. So anyway, let's go to a break right now. We'll come back. I got a couple more reports and then let's get together with our guests and ask some questions.
KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Yeah, honey, my cholesterol thanks you. Hey, do you need help here with the dishes? Because the game's on it.
No. You go ahead. You know me. I live for cleaning the kitchen, especially after cooking 2 pounds of bacon.
I would have made him help.
Honey, did you say something?
No, I'm good. It's me down here, your drain.
Okay.
I noticed you're about to dump all that bacon grease down into me, and I thought you should know that...
That I'm going crazy because my sink is talking to me?
Well, technically I'm your drain, and yeah, it's a little crazy, but drains have feelings too, you know. That's why, as tempting as it is, dumping kitchen grease down into me can clog me.
Good to know.
Yeah, one more thing. My cousin Toilet wants to remind you to quit tossing your baby wipes or dusting wipes down him. It can severely clog our sanitary sewers.
It's true. Improper disposal of household items can severely clog your drains and sanitary sewers. If you have questions on the disposal of certain items, log on to ReadingUtilities.com. That's ReadingUtilities.com. This message has been funded by the City of Reading Public Works Department.
Pulse Urgent Care welcomes back Dr. Richard Musselman, joining Dr. Clayton Reinhart, Dr. Seeger Beatty, and family nurse practitioner Deborah Wright in Pulse's newly expanded facility. Pulse doctors are available to serve you for any urgent care needs 7 days a week from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. Flu shots are now available. Pulse Urgent Care is on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart. Call 722-1111 or visit pulseurgentcare.com. Medicare and private insurances are accepted. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
As we join Bob, the Mount Shasta Springwater Drop, we find him with new recruits.
Bob is cool and Bob is swell. He didn't come out of a well.
So, do you have what it takes to be Mount Shasta Springwater?
Yes, sir. I'm pure and natural, sir.
And why are you here?
Because I don't want to be filtered, sir.
All right, Drips, Drops, you've got what it takes, so be pure and make America proud.
Bob is cool and he's on top. He's by far the coolest drop. Yes, sir.
Mount Shasta Springwater, pure and simple, naturally the best.
And all American, too.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
We're back. North Community Radio for the North State, Sovereign Mind Radio. we don't have our usual music.
Nothing is usual about this morning in the studio, so we're just going to go with it.
We'll come back next week even stronger. So I have another report here. This comes from Breitbart.com. And House and Senate leaders trying to exempt themselves from Obamacare.
Imagine that.
You know.
It's really great, though.
These guys are, you know... If there's not a revolution at some point here, if they keep doing this stuff, I'm going to be shocked. Because you just can't keep, the peasants in check while you live up on the hill and telling them to eat cake and while you...
Yeah, they want to be exempt. Why? Because it costs too much?
Yeah, it says, congressional leaders of both parties in the House and Senate are trying to exempt themselves and their staffs from Obamacare health insurance exchanges that will be mandated to join, that they will be mandated to join under the law. This would be a devastating indictment of Obamacare and the Democrats who rammed it through. Republicans may give Democrats cover if they join them in the agreement to the exemption. Now, what kind of garbage is that?
Mark, you mean they've finally gone back and read what they passed here a year and a half ago?
No, and the fact that the Republicans are even collusion, I mean, just tells you what's going on up there. I mean, that doesn't mean everybody's on the take or everybody's, you know, doing the wrong thing. But you know something? There's a bunch of high-level guys up there that don't give a rip about the rest of us. And all they care about is their power and making sure that we're all under control. And guess what? You know, it's getting to the point of absolute stupidity. You know, if you aren't awake out there, then you need your head examined. So with that...
I guess we're going to go to our guest.
I guess we're going to talk to Gary because I'm starting to rant a little bit here, and we want to just nip that in the bud while we're
That particular issue you just spoke of, when I heard that on the television, I turned to my wife and you've got to be kidding me, but it looks as though they've finally realized they had to read something even though they've already voted for it and they don't like it.
These guys are criminally stupid, or criminally clever, but in either case, they're criminals. And that's really what it comes down to.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, take your pick. I mean, if you're stupid, well, then we need to get rid of you. And if you're a criminal, we need to put you in prison.
Yeah, what part of criminal don't you get?
Yeah, all these guys. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Anyway, with that, let's get to some of our local stuff here. You know, I got to ask you a question on this drone thing about this last vote that was taken, bringing the drones in town. We might as well just get right into it, Gary, here.
Dive in.
I know a lot of people are wondering what the answer to this question is going to be.
I'm just wondering, should we lock the door? So you can't
no,
get
no,
out?
No. I'm not going
that's
anywhere.
That's a joke.
Yeah, I know. I'm laughing. No, the point with my vote, which was a non-vote on the evening that we were discussing the drones, the vote was 3-1 and I abstained from voting. One of the reasons was, and I made mention that night, if people go back and listen to my comments that evening, that my vote abstaining was not a yes vote, and it wasn't a total no vote, because it was rather obvious that the issue was going to pass the evening. My vote was basically, I had talked that morning with a fellow from Ventura County. His name is Todd McNamee. He's the airport director for Ventura County. He's one that's pushing this from the Ventura side down there. So in the process of talking to him, I asked him, I said, well, Todd, what are going to be the size of drones that would be possibly coming to the Redding Airport? And he said, probably down to the size of 25 pounds, down to the size of a pizza box. And I said, what about these little mosquito things that we're seeing now that will set on your thumb? And he said, those could be tested also. And I said, well, then how big? And he said, the biggest one right now that they're looking at is 137-foot wingspan, which is the size of a Boeing 737, basically. Pretty good sized drone.
Yeah.
And where will they be testing? Well, they can be testing all over Shasta County. And I said, well, no, wait a minute. According to the reports that were given, there's going to be two test areas, one in the Whitmore area, which is east of Redding, and another in an area that looks like it's southwest of Redding. But I said, now I'm understanding that is the Maxwell test range, which is about 80 some odd miles south of Redding. And he said, well, yes, that's true. And then he was showing me that we talked our way through the corridors that they would fly coming to and fro. And basically the reason I voted the way I did is by voting no, I would be saying, no, we do not want them here. Then I would not be possibly not be a part of the people that put this memorandum of understanding together. And I want to have a hand in putting that memorandum of understanding together when it's written. Now, this was knowing that the council was going to vote yes. They were moving forward. Now, the close date for the FAA to come back and tell the different states which applications are going to be one of the six test areas across the United States. There are two applications going in for the state of California. One of them is, of course, the Ventura County application. Then there's another application coming in that's going to be the city of Oxnard and Kern County will be a separate application. So there's two competing applications just here in the state of California along with the other 30 states that we have. Then in the legislature here in California, since my vote, and I had been waiting for this to happen, the state of California is working forward to put some regulations on drones. And one of the bills that passed the legislature is asking the governor to take an upfront position and putting the state of California behind this application. And they're trying to tie the two applications together. Now, the application date to the FAA was March the 6th, if I'm not mistaken, and that has been moved up to May the 2nd, I think. And it's really not going to be possible to put those two applications together into one package. So of the 30 states, it's my understanding 27 of them have state backing. Three of them don't, of which California is one of those three. So we don't know how it's going to work out, but they will give the appointment to these six sites in December. And then according to the letter of intent that I have right here in front of me, and I had the night of the issue on the council, the memorandum of understanding is to be negotiated, agreed upon, and executed by you, and the you in this case is the city of Redding and the county being Ventura. So that means the city of Redding staff and the people of the city of Redding are going to have a voice in what goes into this MOU. Now, this is coming from the standpoint that it did pass, and it is moving forward.
I see.
So does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense that you want to be a part of the process. And I guess what you're saying is that if you have voted no, that you might be excluded from the process?
That was my feeling, yes. I wanted to make darn sure that Gary Cadd had a hand in what this MOU is going to say.
Okay. You know, I just don't trust these guys as far as I can throw them. And, you know, they lie about everything as far as why the drones, you know, are supposed to be for jobs. It doesn't look like it's going to be, have any effect on the jobs.
Yeah. What'd they say? Two? Maybe?
Two jobs. And then, you're just paranoid. There's nothing, you know, the pundits are, you know, on the other side is, oh, this is good for industry. This is good for everything. This is good, you know, and it's what's insane to me. Is that at this point, anybody who would trust the federal government is a moron.
Well, let me bring something to mind. The federal government is moving right along in a process of putting together what some are calling spy designation, which is 30 miles south of Salt Lake City. And it's quite it's not just one little building. There's quite a set of buildings. And what it basically is to collect data from all around the world, which, of course, is going to be the people of the United States of America also.
Right.
And they'll be listening to phone calls. They'll be listening to checking and sniffing emails. So all of our communications that we're doing
will be monitored.
Yeah. And they will have them. And they monitor them in such a way that, like I use the word sniff, and by sniffing, they don't actually open a phone conversation or an email up and read it. But what they're doing is looking for trigger points, looking for trigger words. And then once all of a sudden something pops up, then that message or that conversation is pulled out to where they can hear it. Their federal government's doing this right now.
I believe you.
Now,
yeah,
the federal government
on
one hand will,
while.
Right. The federal government will turn around on one hand and say, well, no, we're not gathering this. On the other hand, they are. Federal government's been sniffing into our emails for years and years under two programs called Echelon and Carnivore. If you go looking into those, in some areas says they're not using it, but they're still using them. The NSA does, the National Security Agency.
Well, and, you know, we've got to a point where, you know, the government has gotten so overwhelmingly huge and intrusive, boggles my mind that people can't see a threat to our liberty here with these guys. Oh, the government's, they do nothing but good or, you know, whatever the case may be. But if you look at the past governments worldwide, I mean, they've been the worst enemy to man from the beginning of time. I mean, who puts you in jail? Who sends you to war? Who takes your property? Who kills you in the ditch?
And who taxes you?
Who taxes you into servitude? I mean,
it just doesn't stop.
The whole point of the founding fathers was to limit the government. Now what we're getting is unlimited government, and people wonder why the economy's tanking and there's no prosperity. Well, it's because we got too much government. That doesn't mean that you don't have any rules or regulations, but, you know, they've gotten to the point where they don't even care about the rules and regulations anymore.
Unless it's theirs.
Well, I mean, look at Obama. Yeah. He doesn't care about the Constitution. He circumvents it at every opportunity, you know, with executive orders. And that's my fear with this whole drone thing, is that once these guys get a foothold, and they've already got a foothold, there's no question. But if they get in Shasta County, I mean, how do we control these guys? Do we control these guys through the local politics, political machine at City Hall? Well, look at what we got in the city council there. I mean, present company excluded. You know, you and Patrick are the only ones that are conservative, it seems like. I mean, Bassetti, he talks a good tune, but he doesn't seem like he stays on the other side as much as he possibly can from what I'm seeing. He caters, but, I can't see where he's, you know, that much of a conservative. He's siding with the people that want more government.
Yeah, I guess we're going to have to go to a break here. And then I have a question for you, Gary, when we get back. Actually, I'll give you the question now, and then you can think about it. How come this was on the consent calendar? So if we could get the answer when we get back from the break, that would be great. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli featuring no-nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family-owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
Wake up, America. You're too young to die.
This week we'll talk about depression, suicide, predators, the Internet, and the First Amendment. How are these topics related? Find out as we discuss online suicide groups. Suicide prevention advocate Mike Gonzalez and Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute will join us. We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
We're back, Sovereign Mind Radio. We're not operating fully functional at this point.
I had to leave out that crazy bumper music that time. I didn't know if it was offending the ears.
I'm not a big rap fan, so...
Yeah, and it's not even labeled as rap. What's that about? It's supposed to be rock, but yet everything starts out rapping, rapping.
I guess, yeah, I don't know. I'm old school, so I'll just leave it at that. But I don't want to beat a dead horse here with this drone thing. I think that I'm just caution is the word of the day here with these guys. I trust nobody in the government at this point, especially the federal and especially the state government in California. I mean, you can't affect much change on these guys at this point because they are just overwhelmingly off the charts pro-government, pro-left.
So. Well, this is it, Mark. And the thing with my vote, and I didn't want it to be that upsetting to the folks to understand what I was doing, but I was making a point that I want to be a part of what's said. Now, they have until next March to put the MOU together, and the MOU should not be even worked on at all until after they know they've got the appointment to be one of the six across the country from the FAA. And from the standpoint of things are changing, the state government's working on another couple of bills that are going to regulate drones. And in the language of them is that the cities and counties have a right to step in and put regulations in place. Now, these bills aren't passed yet. I've been monitoring and watching them go through committee, but there are these issues that to where we would have more of a say in what goes on over our heads.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for is because, I mean, I'm sure that there's some good applications for drone use, but there's also some terrifying applications for drone use, and people need to realize that you could get the bad with the good here if you're not careful.
Agreed. Totally agreed.
So with that, let's move on to another subject.
Well, did you think about the question before we... that I gave you before we went to the break?
Yes, I did.
You want me to repeat it?
No.
Okay.
The question, Linda's question was, how come issues are on the consent agenda, just as this one was?
Yeah.
All right. I don't have a city agenda in front of me, but there's a paragraph that is read before they go into the consent agenda. And it basically says that the issues that are listed on the consent agenda have been vetted by council members. Well, there's times with the city and mainly with the county, but with both those government entities where issues are put on the consent calendar that have not been vetted at all or have been vetted to the board of supervisors or to the councilors on the city, and the people have no idea what's going on. That issues need to come out and be aired. Now, this drone issue should never, ever have been on the consent calendar to start with. I pulled it off so we could discuss it, and that's where the discussion came from and where this talk came from. But I pulled it off because I need to know.
Right.
I didn't know.
Right. It was like and then all of a sudden crammed down our throats, so to speak.
Whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
It's coming whether we like it or not.
Yeah. And the deadline's like May 1st.
Yeah. Well, and that's one thing that really bothers me is the fact that something's put on the agenda and, by the way, we have to pass this because the deadline's next Tuesday.
Right.
Or the deadline was last Tuesday and we've got to get this done. I know the county has done that upon occasions. It's upsetting. So we need to use the consent calendar for what it's for. Things that have been vetted, and I think another thing is non-controversial as part of that paragraph. I wish I had it with me, but it's vetted and non-controversial. The drones were non-controversial, not.
Really?
And so this was the thing. And it's my understanding since our two meetings on drones that actually city staff had been working on this for about a year. They knew this was coming.
They were aware of it.
Oh, they've been more than aware of it. Yes, they've been working on it for more than a year.
Yeah, and that makes me even more distrustful of these guys.
Well, you know, the thing, look, I'm a counselor and I still am part of the city government. We have a staff and I'm coming out a little critical of city staff for doing this. But the reason I'm doing it is to try to get them to stop doing it.
I agree. I think that's a good
thing.
So
we have the city staff is a great staff. They do great work. But I believe that the council, this is the five members as a whole, Reading City Council need to be the leaders of what happens within the city.
Well, we need to shine a light on everything, you know. I mean, that's the sunshine cleans up a lot of stuff here, and that's what we need, not this surprising or this behind the scenes. You know, it's the same with the Board of Supervisors. I have a real problem with they really don't want to have televised meetings, you know.
A year ago in January for 6 months, I and several others went before the Board of Supervisors asking them to put their meetings online so that people could go 24/7 and go back and see what their supervisors are doing.
Yeah, because
still hasn't been done.
Well, and because most supervisor meetings, my understanding, in a lot of other counties, is not at 9 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday, where most people actually would be involved are working. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of hard to just jump off and run down to the Board of Supervisors because they decided to schedule it so they can have the least amount of their constituents involved.
Well, look at the Northeast. Our county goes clear up to MacArthur.
Right.
In the Intermountain area. Going right. West of us on the other side. I mean, there's times when these folks can't get here.
Right.
Even if they had the time and the wherewithal to get here.
And
they're trying to make their lives.
And the fact that they've been opposing doing it makes me suspicious just in itself. Why would you not want to have your constituency involved in the process if you are legitimately trying to do the right job for the people in your district?
Yeah, they're supposed to be working with us, correct?
They're supposed to be.
And take in our concerns?
They're supposed to be doing the people's work. This is not about them.
Yeah.
It's about the people that they're working for.
Well, seeing you're going down this trail, and we got off over into the county, has another bad habit of doing things retroactively. In other words, going ahead and accomplishing something or moving forward with something, and then, oh gosh, even a couple of them who were a couple of years old, go back and finally approve it. So the government's not working the way it's supposed to be on the county side.
Well,
anyway,
at any levels, we all know that, and that's one reason that we like to bring this forth to the people so we can start maybe having it start working at the local level and work our way up here.
Well, we never have enough time here, and we'll run out if we don't start.
But
let's approach this unfunded pensions and liabilities thing, because that seems to be a problem. not just locally in the county or the city or the whole state. It's not even just the state. It is the country and the world. I mean, what people don't understand that work in government, that get these huge pension packages and these huge benefits packages, what they don't get is, and, you know, I talked to a guy yesterday at the Oregon, Department of Revenue. And they just don't get the fact is that if you start paying out more in benefits than the market will bear, you end up with a Zorro type situation where you got the Acalde running around stripping everybody bare and a bunch of peasants out in the marketplace wondering where they're going to get their next meal. They don't seem to get that you can't overcompensate the guys in government at the expense of the private sector. Is that good lead-in?
Well, that works. There's two issues about city pensions and health care. We've got some real problems. First of all, whenever CalPERS, their investments per year have to return 7.5% return. And that keeps their present retirements paid all over going out into the future.
Ain't gonna happen.
All right. In the year 11, instead of getting 7.5%, they got just less than 1%.
Right.
So whenever there's the difference between that 1% and 7.5%, whatever the monetary figure is, they come back to the city, county, or the state and with their handout saying, we need a check for this amount.
Yep.
Well, CalPERS this last week voted, instead of going out on a 30-year smoothing, as they call it, they want to go a 5-year smoothing. So starting in the calendar year, or fiscal year, I should say, of 15-16, they're going to come back and start looking at Reading to pick up the Reading share of $90 billion. Now, folks, I can't tell you, CalPERS won't even tell us what our share is going to be. I'm sure that an actuary could figure it out, but they're not telling us. So we have a real problem in 15-16 going forward to about 2020. That we're going to have to start paying more for CalPERS payments. And we're talking $2-3 million, something like this. Once this starts happening, then we're going to have to go back and start cutting our budget again. That means we could possibly have to cut police, fire, city services, streets, roads. I mean, this whole thing starts compounding upon itself. Now, that's one issue that's coming forward that we really need to be looking at. Now, there's another issue that is really bad. And I want to bring up a situation that happened in October of 2004. The city of Reading, for non-public safety employees, has two pension plans. One is called CalPERS, and the other one is called PARS, and that's Public Agency Retirement Services. Well, under the PARS heading, in October of 2004, the city raised their percentage from 2% to 2.7%. Now, this means that the amount of money that's held aside and paid in by the city for their retirement is 2% of their salary or to 2.5% of their salary. So when they made this raise, and it was implemented in January 1st of 2005, it was made retroactive to the first day that employee went to work for the city of Reading.
No matter when they started, when they were employed?
Some of those folks could have been working for the city of Reading for 20 years. But they gained the 0.7% clear back to the day they were hired. Now, having said this, then keep in mind, this went into effect on January 1st of 2005. On that date, January 1st of 2005, this enhancement debt, the city went in debt $17.9 million to make that retroactive. $17.9 million.
So who did they borrow the money from?
They didn't. They still owed.
Really?
Yep. Now, if you also look at CalPERS public safety, there was a bump when they went from 2% to 3%. It was made retroactive. When it went from, the age went from 55 down to 50, it was made retroactive. So any enhancement of the CalPERS or the CalPARS retirement plans were made retroactive back to the day the person went to work. Now, having it. How are we doing on time?
We got a couple minutes before the break, okay. Then the last 15.
Let me go through. Right now, public safety PERS, by actuarial figures, is $61 million short-funded.
Wow.
The miscellaneous CalPERS, this is everybody, I don't know why they call the rest of our employees miscellaneous. They're certainly not miscellaneous, but that's the term that's used. That is $61.5 million short-funded. And PARS is $34 million short-funded.
That's just locally here?
That's the city of Reading.
So if that's just the city of Reading, then you can imagine at the state level with CalPERS.
Billions.
I heard it was like 80 billion. Maybe it's trillions.
The 80 billion is just a shortfall from their not getting back the investment money. This is above and beyond that. Now we also have, the post-retirement health care. That was Measure B that the courts kicked out. That, and it depends upon which actuary you're looking at, but that is roughly $121 million short-funded. This comes out to $277 million short-fund. It's just short-funded on pensions and health care with the city of Reading. Now, having said that, having said that, I'm using actuarial figures. No, an actuary lives in a different world than regular accounting.
It's kind of like the GOA.
Right. And these figures that I'm mentioning to you here are not something that I put together. This was put together by Steve Strong. Now, he just retired the 1st of April, but he and I had some long talks about this before he retired. Now, the actual market value of these is $336 million.
Wow.
This is $336 million, and we're not speaking of the state. We're not speaking of the county. We're speaking of the city of Reading.
Yeah, and, invested in CalPERS, I haven't checked out PAR yet, but I've been in the CalPERS website and looked at what their investments are in. They're in mortgage-backed securities. They're in government bonds, and there's no bubble there.
You don't have to worry about any problem happening.
Yeah, $85 billion the Fed's printing a month and selling treasuries. I mean, there could be a real problem, and that's where I was going is, at the end of the day with all of this, Cheney said debts don't matter. Well, Cheney is a moron, in my opinion, when it comes to accounting. He has to be. Because, what do you mean debts don't matter? At some point in time, you file bankruptcy, or you just keep spending, well, I guess if you have a counterfeiting machine, it doesn't matter.
But yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter until the economy implodes like it's doing now, and the grand Ponzi scheme turns us all into, slaves or serfs because we don't have any money that's worth anything. So, sorry, I went off, but what do you think is going to happen at the end of the day here that's going to affect these guys that are this pension money's owed to and the city people that are paying their taxes in for this charade?
Well, the thing that comes down to it here is we've got to keep several things in mind, and one of them in mind is we've got to be able to pay our city employees their retirement when they retire. I mean, if we were to become insolvent, there wouldn't be any retirement.
They're on the chopping block. I think we got to go to a break here real quick, and then we'll come back and finish it.
All right, and with that, this is Free Fire Media. This is KCNR 1460.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Hi, this is Jim Dyer.
And this is Lou White. And we are inviting you to join us on Mother's Day, May 12th, for the 40th annual Old Shasta Music Festival.
Both the Jim Dyer Band
and the Lou White Band will be performing, along with our friends, the Manzanita Band and Wild Bill and the Mud Wompers.
The Shasta Service Guild is presenting a full day of family fun featuring music, artisans, and food.
Continue the tradition, as this annual Mother's Day event has been bringing families together for 40 years and is now held at the new Shasta Middle Creek Mining Camp off Highway 299 West in Old Shasta.
The gates open at 10:30 a.m. and it'll all wrap up at 6:30 that evening, and there'll be on-site and off-site parking.
Tickets are available at the Cascade Theater box office or online at cascadetheater.org, or you can pay at the gate.
Support the Shasta Service Guild, learn about local artisans, enjoy great music and food, and spend the family day together at the 40th Mother's Day Old Shasta Music Festival.
It will all happen Sunday, May 12th, at the Shasta Middle Creek Mining Camp in Old Shasta.
Can't deny the way I feel. I find you sweet, irresistible. Sing it. I try to fight.
Well, Bob, you are irresistible.
Oh, pure and simple.
Naturally the best.
We're Mount Shasta Springwater.
Hi, Linda Bott here. Join me every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR 1460 AM for On the Spot with Linda Bott. Find out what's hot and what's not. We talk about fun, film, fashion, food. Brought to you by Dandelion, Crackmaster, Mount Shasta Mall, Anselmo Vineyards, and Estate Granite. On the Spot, Thursday, 6 p.m., right here, KCNR 1460 AM.
I can live with the Batman music.
Batman.
I like that. Pow, bang, zap. But we're back, and we're talking about the debt of the city. And, you know, people, you know, I told people 3 years ago that CalPERS was in trouble. Oh, no, they're solving all this stuff. But the debt across the board is in trouble. What the people that work for the government don't get, don't realize, because they don't have an understanding of finances in most cases, is that if you're invested into bonds or government treasuries or European sovereign debt or mortgage-backed securities, and the interest rates go up, which they will have to go up here pretty soon, because the Treasury, for example, the United States Treasury, has got no more buyers of their bonds. Everybody's through, which means that you either print your way out, and once you get to a point where you're insolvent that way, then you have to start raising interest rates to, and what is that going to do to the debt service? What they need to realize, you people out there in government, is this. You will not have a pension if this doesn't stop. You will lose your pensions that you guys have been working for so long. And that is going to be the end result if this doesn't get fixed.
This is true. Now, one other thing I'd like to mention quickly here because of time is the bond indebtedness of the city of Reading. I call it credit card debt. It's like having a credit card with no limit on it, but it's bond indebtedness. And as of June 30th of 2012, the bond indebtedness of the city was $304 million. Now, having said that, let me qualify it. That is the city of Reading. That is utilities and the city. That's all city is $304 million bond indebtedness, and we pay $26.6 million a year in the debt service for this debt. Now, keep in mind then, the total pensions and health care is $336 million unfunded. Bond debt is $304 million, and the city has roughly about $8.5 million of debt that it pays on that are not bond debt, and that's a total of $649 million indebtedness.
Wow.
Then we have $649 liability and $1.1 billion in assets. So we're 57% of our assets are in debt of one form or another.
Yeah, we need to find out what a revenue is for a year, too, at some point.
Yeah, see, you're an accountant, and I don't think like accountants, so I didn't think to ask that question, but I certainly can. But one thing I want to mention right here, right now, is that Mr. Starman, the city manager, and I have had some real discussions on this issue. We probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours sitting talking about these issues. And the city of Reading, some time ago, within the recent past, has hired a Bartell and Associates, I think it is, their actuarials, their private actuarials. And they're going through and running the numbers on the pensions, within the city. So Mr. Starman is putting together a pension workshop that's going to be coming up. Well, I see our budget time is going to be June the 20th. This will probably be towards the end of May or first part of June. We're going to have an open city council, city of Reading workshop, to where there'll be a presentation by staff, a presentation by Bartell, and then we will be able to discuss what's going on. And, of course, the public will be a part of that workshop.
Oh, very
good. I just want people to know that I'm not talking about these issues and just saying, oh, well, this is the problem. I'm talking about the problem, and hopefully this workshop is going to be a part of the solution to the problem.
Yeah, it's like putting if you were out in the private sector and you stacked up your pension so high that you put the private business out of business, you lose your job, you lose your pension, you lose everything. And it's the same in the public sector as well. If you're not careful and you overload the system with too much debt and too many liabilities that are unfunded, look at our esteemed governor, Jerry Moonbeam Brown. I mean, you know, this year he says that we're going to be in the black next year.
Already going downhill.
So, I guess it depends on where you go to school at, you know.
Either a liar or you're stupid. I mean, take your pick. Or you're incredibly evilly criminal. I hate to say that, but the truth is these guys either, if they know what they're doing, they're lying. And if they don't know what they're doing, they're incompetent. There's not a whole lot
in
between.
So they need to go anyway. Anyway you slice the pie, we need to get some different people in there to handle some of these finances.
My point of the reason I ran three times and was finally successful the third time to have a seat on the Reading City Council was to look at issues like this.
Right.
I knew this was an issue. I didn't realize how drastically this issue was. But I got digging into it. That's the reason why I ran for council. This is the reason why I feel the people of the city of Reading need to know what's going on because they're paying the bill.
Well, you know, here's my theory. I'm afraid that they're not going to figure this out till they get their nose rubbed in this so hard, especially the government workers that are depending on these pensions. They just, you know, the unions have demanded so much for so long, they're putting them themselves under. And they think that the endless trough out there in the private sector is just going to keep supplying them with this. Well, we know businesses are leaving California in droves, and there's a reason why, because the business climate is so terrible here. I've even considered leaving because, you know something, I'm getting tired of being my pocket picket.
Yeah. The thing with it is it's called sales tax. And property tax.
Yep.
Which is where we get the biggest part of our money.
Yep.
And we're turning around and driving companies out of California.
Right.
To where we could get sales tax and property tax. We should be moving forward. We should be.
I've got a comment in the chat room that says the difference being a company going down hurts its employees. Government going down hurts us all.
That's true.
That's right.
That's Kevin in Montana. How you doing, Kevin?
Yeah. Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah. So there you have it. I mean, the real deal is that, there's a problem here across the board. We need to provide services. You know, I remember, I mean, both my parents were in civil service. My mom worked for the post office and my dad worked for Caltrans. And it used to be that you went to work for the government for security, but you didn't go to work for the government to get rich.
73% of the general fund goes to pay wages, health care, and pension.
That's
right at 73%. Now keep something on, let me real quickly go through something here. People have noticed that our streets and roads are needing help.
Yeah.
Underneath those streets and roads, we have half of the mileage in the city is clay pipe on our sewer lines. That's needing help. We need to tear them out and replace them. The Foothill Water, plant, needs to be, I don't remember how many years old it is, but it needs to be upgraded. The pump station one down on the river is older than I am, and I'm sort of an old guy. So when you stop looking, we have infrastructure that it needs help. We need to be doing something. Hey, folks, we don't have the money. We're looking at $338 million shortfall on a pension and health care program.
Yeah, and like we were talking at the break, what happens if interest rates start to go up?
Oh, we're dead.
Yeah.
And they're going to go up.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Well, or you're going to have to take a haircut. All those bondholders out there are going to have to take the haircut. And what does that mean? It means that your bonds get downgraded, which means that you have to charge higher interest rates, which means that you can't attract anybody to borrow money from. And so you've got some real problems here across the board. And that's where we're going to end up here, I'm afraid.
And CalPERS is in the process of forcing us to bring these up to date. If they force us to bring these amounts up to date, the way it is right now, and previous councils have got us into this, the reason that they bring it up to date, we are insolvent.
Yep, I agree.
I mean, $300 million. We're talking $300 million, and we're also talking COR, the city of Reading.
Yeah, yeah. This isn't Detroit or. Well, wait a minute. Maybe we're headed to Detroit.
Oh, gosh. Let's don't even go there. That's the word I don't want to use.
Well, we want to thank you for coming in and sharing some of that information with us, Gary. And keep us posted when they're going to be doing the workshop.
Oh, you better believe
it. So we can get that out to the people.
We want to get out to everybody.
So they know and they can get some information over on that.
Yeah. Well, like I say, we hate to be the purveyors of doom and gloom, but in order to get this thing fixed, we got to start facing reality out there, guys. We got to start really looking at things for what they are so we can start to fix them instead of this rose-colored glasses, rainbows and lollipops thing. So here we go. We're out of here. Let's see. I got to say my last things here. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Governor's Force Reads. Okay.
I'm Chris Foster, a martial arts instructor in Mississippi. Is arrested, connected to poison letters to President Obama, a senator, and a judge.
Everett Dusky was taken into custody after federal agents searched his home and martial arts studio as part of the investigation into those letters laced with ricin that were sent to President Obama and Republican Senator Roger Wicker. No word on a motive yet, but the 41-year-old Dusky is reported to have been in an ongoing feud with the last suspect who was arrested. That was Elvis impersonator Paul Kevin Curtis, who has since been let go. Curtis was said to be angry with Dusky, who had rejected a story idea about stolen body parts that Curtis had submitted for Dusky's newsletter. In Washington, Jill Nato, Fox News Radio.
FBI agents are done searching a landfill near the University of Massachusetts Dartmouth. That's where the surviving Boston Marathon bombing suspects studied. They're not saying what they were looking for or if they found anything. A vote to get air traffic controllers paid.